more than 20 committee planning sessions since 2010. So today should be our facilitator, and also he will be able to assist his committee in developing strategic planning and development plan, which must be aligned to the strategic plan of Parliament. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Madam Member. I don't need to introduce myself further. If I take it a little bit and say that I'm already in Parliament as project manager in the project management office, the office of the secretary. I've had an opportunity to work with the health organization since I joined Parliament in 2007. And I could have been from time to time to facilitate most of the training session for the parliamentary committee as well as the committee of Parliament. Start with the time as the chair person has indicated, we're going to take the first presentation for the day. That's about the land restitution. This one is coming from the petition from Ibrahim Dodwa, Deputy Land Claim Commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Program Director, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable Members. Good morning, as well as my colleagues, ladies and gentlemen of the Call of Staff. We are going to retain. We are communicating the committee through a presentation. In our presentation, we have one slide that references the land restitution program and who the commission is, what it does. Then part A is a review of the work done between 2009 and March 2015, and then part B then relates to what is to be done between now and the the President's administration. Then the restitution program is a program that is responsible for the settlement of land claims in terms of the Restitution of Land Rights Act. The Commission is one of the two institutions that were established by the Act, the other being the Land Claims Court. Then the Commission is responsible for the administrative side and the court then adjudicates disputes. More specifically, the Commission solicits land claims, investigates them, and attempts to resolve them through mediation and negotiation. These claims are from persons or communities that lost rights in land after 1990s as a result of racial military laws and practices, and who have lodged claims with the Commission. In terms of policy priorities for the period 2009 until 2015, in the sector, government was required to intensify the land reform program so as to ensure that more land is in the hands of the rural poor, to provide the rural poor with technical skills and financial resources to productively use the land and to create sustainable livelihoods, and to review the appropriateness of the land redistribution program, and to ensure that the land reform program as a whole is integrated at provincial and local government levels. Now, these policy priorities relate to the land reform program as a whole, and that program has four elements: land redistribution, land tenure reform, land restitution, and land development. And in our presentation, we are going to be focusing on the land restitution elements of the land reform program. Very early in 2009, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform was established. It took over the mandate of land affairs, and it had an increased mandate relating to rural development. So all policies of affairs should be aligned with the new mandate for rural development and land reform. On the restitution side, a review of the restitution program was conducted, and that was done through consultation with stakeholders at the provincial and national level. We highlight a workshop that took place in May 2011 that was attended by 1,296 delegates, who were asked to assess the impact of the program. There were difficult issues that were highlighted in that exercise, but key amongst them were the cut-off date of 1919 to 1915 and the date of 31st December 1998. The Constitution and the Restitution Act required that for people to qualify for restitution, they must have lost their rights in land after 1919 to 1918. And that they must have lodged claims by the 1st of December 1998. That was the condition at the time. And that was raised as an issue for government to consider. To the process, a need to move swiftly to deal with outstanding claims and provide us with support in collaboration with other government departments and stakeholders as well. Also highlight. So in the 2015 State of the Nation address, the President announced that government would consider reopening allotment of claims and that it would explore exceptions to the 1913 cut-off date to accommodate the determinants of the core and then historical landmarks and heritage sites. That was a direct response to some of the critical issues that came out of the consultation process that has referred to earlier. And then the fourth parliament passed the restitution of land rights amendment bill, and that bill was eventually signed into law by the president on the 30th of June 2014. That then provided for the reopening of allotments of claims for a period of 5 years that is calculated from the 1st of July 2015. Ending on the 30th of June 2019. Allotment of claims then started on the 1st of July and is currently underway to continue until the 30th of June 2019. And that allotment is done in a more effective and more efficient manner compared to how allotment was managed before the 31st December 1998 cut-off date. These claims are lodged in 14 allotment offices throughout the country, and there are 6 mobile offices that are fully operational. They are currently collecting land claims as we speak, and there are 2 additional 4x4 units that help us to assess even the most rural and remote areas in the country. So that is the work that was done then to address the concerns related to the cut-off date of 31 December 1998, where people said requested government to reopen the lodgement of claim. And for Parliament has the bill signed into law, and that is currently being implemented as announced by the President. The second part of the President's announcement in the 2015 State of the Nation address related to government having to explore exceptions to the 1913 Native Land Act cut-off date. Now, on this, the Department focused initially on organizing the Core Extent Committee. The exceptions that were proposed are to accommodate the defense of the core and the FN heritage sites and historical landmark. So organizing the core and the FN were critical because they had never had an opportunity to meet at the national level and discuss issues that are common to them, including issues relating to land. We convened the first national core and FN dialogue in April of 2018. It was the first national gathering of the descendants of the core since the beginning of colonialism. We called that meeting Kimberley One. Sympathy One involved to establish the national reference group that would assist the department to develop the exception program. Work was then done, and the second conference was held in May 2014, a year later, and recommendations were presented at the conference looking at various ways and means in which the exception program would take form. And the resolutions that were adopted in that conference were that the exception should be implemented through the land redistribution program. When we get to the later part of the presentation, we will explain this exception program here in a little bit more detail. We've also had two other national conferences, one in June of 2014 and another one in November of 2015, where we gathered stakeholders beyond now the terminal of the core and the fence, and when we're discussing the exception, particularly so far as they relate to heritage sites and historical landmarks. If we then look at implementation progress, in 2009-2015, on the core work of the Commission, we settled 2,194 new claims. In the hard copy that the Honourable Members had, that version had a calculation error when we were adding all the land claims. The calculation error there, and the figure there is not correct. The correct figure for claims settled between 2009 and March 2015 is 2,294 land claims. At that time, March 2015, there were 8,047 land claims lodged before 1998 that were outstanding. And the breakdown, as I mentioned here, of the claims that were settled then appears in the three slides that follow. Honourable members will note that from 2009 and 2010-2011, there was a dip in the settlement of claims. Targets were not met. During that period, there was a battle in the Commission. Many positions, senior management positions in the Commission were vacant. The commissioners that were there had not renewed their contracts, and that then accounts for the decline that was there. But as soon as the structure of the Commission was rationalized and the posts were filled, we then see that in particular from 2012, that there is a lot of improvement where targets have been met since that time. In the slides, we then set out some of the performance indicators that were measured, but for the purposes of the presentation today, we focus a lot on the number of new claims that have been settled. In terms of budget expenditure, during the same year, the Commission spent a minimum of 99% of its budget every year. And most of the time, as the best column would show, then there would have been an additional budget that gets provided to the Commission during the course of the financial year, and even that budget would then be spent. And on the last column, the financial year, we then set out what the end result in terms of percentage spent has been, like we have said. We've never spent less than 99% of our budget. With regards to the challenges or limitations in our work, we had two evaluations on the work of the Commission conducted. The first one was by the Department of Now Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation and the South African Human Rights Commission. Each of these two institutions conducted their own separate assessments of the work of the Commission. They came up with challenges and recommendations. All those recommendations are then going to be implemented and are set out in the strategic plan of the Commission for 2014 until 2019. We have categorized the challenges that were highlighted from this report. Under strategy, is saying that the two institutions were both not happy about the mandate of the commission, that the commission seems to be doing work that is beyond its legal mandate, that there was a lack of standardized business processes and anti-delineation of roles between the responsibilities of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and the commission. On issues relating to the structure, they found that the structure is not aligned to the mandate, that the budget structure, although funds are allocated, there is no appropriate delegation that are in place to enable effective and efficient service delivery. On issues relating to systems, they found that there is no management information system, no business processes or project management system in place, and that the systems in the commission as a whole were ineffective. On issues relating to staff, they found that there was inadequate communication and awareness raising, and because of the close relationship between the commission and the department, the commission was not seen as an autonomous or separate entity to the department, and that the commission must be more visible. On issues relating to staff, they said that there's a need for input coordination and integration in the planning and implementation between stakeholders, that there is a need for a competent and dedicated human resource capacity to be established, that there must be improved performance management system, and there was additional staff required to deal in particular with the new claims that are currently being lodged, that there is high staff turnover and inadequate research capacity. And this is relating to skills, they raised concerns about poor asset skills within the commission, and that was the need for training, particularly so far as dealing with the new legislation. All of those challenges and limitations that were raised, as indicated earlier, are part of, in fact, they form the core of the work that is being done by the Commission and set out in the Strategic Plan 2015 to 2020. Now, in terms of intervention, since 2015, four priorities have been identified. The first one is the acceleration of the settlement of the remaining claims which were submitted before the cut-off date of 1998. Later on, we will say how many of those claims are in what stage they are and what is being done to make sure that they are finalized. The second priority area is the reopening of the lodgement of claims, and the assistance that is required to be provided by the commission in terms of communicating and making sure that people understand the right to restitution and their assistance to launch a claim. The third priority area is the modification of the exceptions to the 1930 cut-off date. And then the last one is the commission to implement the progress to improve operational effectiveness. Now, this progress we refer to it as the autonomy progress, where we are implementing cabinet resolutions following the PME's recommendations that the commission should become an autonomous entity. We have then set out the goals. The first one is the restoration of land rights, which is basically the settlement of land claims, the core function of the commission. The second goal is the assistance that is provided to people when they are losing claims. And the third goal is organizational change management, so as it can then address all the challenges that we have set out above. In terms of our objectives, we have categorized them into two, business as usual and business unusual. For business as usual, we are looking at land rights restored as the first objective, redress provided to facilitate the committee, the Gloss Lemasa, 1913, as the second strategic project. When it comes to business and user, strategic objective 5 is that there must be a clear organizational mandate and business processes that are supported by resources. Objective 6 is improved information and project management. Objective 3 is improved governance and service integrity. Improved customer satisfaction and communication is the fourth objective. These goals and objectives are found in the strategic plan of the Commission 2015 until 2030. We have said that we will set out in a little bit more detail what is the perception problem that we're talking about. We'll remember that we have said earlier that the Constitution and the Resolution Act require that you must have lost a writing land after 1990. So the key program is then to create a mechanism for three categories of land to be restored, even if that land was taken before 1990. And the point of departure for the exception is that by the time the Native Land Act was passed on 1918, the Khoi and the Fang and other indigenous Africans had long been disposed of land. And the need for targeted interventions to cater for the descendants of the Khoi and the Fang heritage sites and historical landmarks has been identified. And the holistic provisions are informed by the National Development Plan, the Comprehensive Rural Development Program, the framework on land reform. And this session will be a special moment of an expanded land redistribution program. They will not be linked to the land restitution program, which gets its mandate from Section 25(7) of the Constitution, specifically mentioning 1990. So the exception will then be an opportunity to integrate South Africans irrespective of race, gender, class, or historical origin. The current law that is applicable in the management and conservation or preservation of heritage sites will continue to apply, provided that if there is a conflict between that law and the exceptions program, then the court will be the answer. And when it is adjudicating on that conflict, it will require to take into account the intention of the exceptions program. We have established a task team that is now finalizing the policy framework, constituting of stakeholders such as the National and Provincial House of Traditional Leaders, Cultural Leader, the National Khoi and Fang Council, our own department, Khoi and Fang Reference Group, and relevant department and entity. We are in the process of establishing a multicultural research team that will be established to identify historical landmarks for all of South Africa's indigenous people. So that is work that is being done now to then deal with the issue that was raised in 2011 relating to the 1913 Native Land Estate. And if we look at claims that have been launched following the amendment of the Restitution Act, providing for reopening, by the 19th of January, 123,571 land claims have been lodged in our community lodgement offices and 6 mobile lodgement units. Now, the Commission has developed a prioritization criteria for dealing with land claims. Now, Section 61G of the Constitution Act, after it was amended in 2014, requires the Commission to first deal with the claims that are lodged before 81 December 1998. So, following that section, prioritization criteria was then developed, and is contained in a prioritization policy of the Commission, and Commission is in the process of developing regulations that are going to make sure that the 61G is given effect, that we indeed first deal with the claims that were lodged in 1998 before processing the new one. We distinguish very clearly and consciously between the old order claims, those are the ones lodged 498, and the new order claims, which are claims that have been lodged since the 1st of July 2014. We do not devote any of our resources, both financial and human, to processing claims beyond the point of that attention after the lodgement and acknowledgement of the seat. There are, however, instances where we are required by the law to deal with a claim that was lodged after the 1st of July 2014, and the following are those exceptions. If the court is directed to do so by the referee, the commission is directed to do so by the court. That's the first instance. And the second instance, when we deal with the claim lodged after 1st of July 2014, is if the new claim overlaps with an old claim that we are currently processing. So we are on the ground, we are dealing with a claim in respect of this property, and when we look at the new claim that has been lodged, there is one more new claim on the basis of property. So when we are processing those claims, we process them. So then the new one will be dealt with because we are in the process of dealing with an old one lodged before the 20th December 1998. That is provision in the Tuition Act in section 12.4 and 38.1, which allows a chief levy commissioner or a judge, in the case of 38.D, to give a notice calling upon people who are dispossessed in a particular area to come forward and lodge their claim within a specified time. If, for an example, we are dealing with claims in a particular area, say, for an example, District 6, we have 2,500 claims lodged before 1998 in District 6. 1,000 of those claims were financial compensation, 1,500 were for land restoration. We are and we have been working with those claimants to return them to District 6. In District 6, planning has been done, and the plan says we could get 4,500 housing units built on the land available. And before the opening of claim, we had plans of how we would have an integrated development, a plan developed jointly with the claimant, national government, the province and local government, and other stakeholders. For 4,500 housing units, we are going to bring people from who are beneficiaries of our applicants for housing. We are going to bring other land reform beneficiaries so that we can have a vibrant community District 6. With the reopening of allotment of claims, then it becomes very difficult to process and continue with the plan, knowing that there are more people that are likely to come lodge claims. So section 12.4 and 38.D were then created in the Act even before the amendment to allow a situation where a chief legislative commissioner or a judge of the matter in the courts can then issue a notice calling upon all people that have a claim in District 6 to lodge their claim within a particular period. And then that is supported by a communication campaign. Then when the commission then processes those claims and the development is claimed, then those people that would have come even at a later stage to lodge their claim within the deadline time would then be able to do so. So if all those new claims are lodged in those circumstances where there were no claims in terms of 12.4 or 88.D, then we process those things as well. Although there are still, and this is the next slide, we'll will deal with other cases. There are still other cases that are outstanding, but in some of the provinces, we are almost finished with the claims that were lost in 1998. So once those have been finished in a province, then in that particular province, Free State, to be precise, will Free State then be able to deal with new claims because it would have finished all of those claims. So how we deal with the issue of priority, we say we don't deal with the new one unless the court says we must do so. The new claim overlaps with an old claim that we are dealing with. We are processing all the claims in a particular area, and for a special case, we have to get anyone that can claim to do so in a specified time so that we can continue with the work that we were doing. Then a 12-4 notice will be issued, or if we have settled the claims and finished in that particular problem. This slide 27 sets out our plan for the next year, where we are targeted to settle 615 new claims. We are targeted to finalize 454 claims. And we finalize a claim when we have paid the last cent for those claims, financial compensation, we paid everyone. Or in a case for land restoration, we have transferred all the land to the claim. The number of claims projects, the target is 90. Sometimes claims are settled in phases, and in between the phases, when we are still, the community is claiming 10 properties, we've got 5, and then we have 2 where there are still others, and the other 3 are still outstanding, where we get the 2. The work that is done towards getting those 2 properties will then be accepted under the indicator relating to phase project. And then the third, and then the last column then deals with claims research. The target is 1,550 for the next financial year. The MTF indicative budget for restitution is 10 billion, for the MTF period, 3.1 billion in the next 2016-2017 financial year, 3.3 billion. 2017-18 and then 3.5 billion in 2018-2019. Then the last slide then set out the claims lodged before 81 December 1995 that are currently outstanding and where they are. The total of 7,584 claims that are outstanding. Oh yeah, apologies for never remember this. This slide is also not included. Then there are 7,584 claims that are outstanding. We then set out in which phase in the restitution process these then claims are. If you look at phase 2, that is the phase where we are categorizing these claims, we are screening them. Phase 2 and Phase 3 is basically what we broadly refer to as research. Now, the targets of research for the current year and the next financial year, next financial year is 1,500, that is for the next financial year. The balance is for us to finalize in the current quarter, such that by the end of 2016-2017, we will finalize research for claims that were lost in the 1st of September 1990. That will be important because one of the questions that we have to answer is how much resources are required to settle the claims lodged before the 1st of September 1990, that will only be able to provide a proper answer once research has been concluded. Now, through the research process, we identify the exact properties that are claimed. We know whether this is a valid claim or not. So we know what is the land use. And with the assistance of the Office of the Borough General, we will be in a position to then indicate that based on the claims and the research into be all of those that were lost by the 31st December 1998 cut-off date. These are the sources that would be required. And we will raise that out and how we deal with the new ones and the old ones. So then maybe at the end, as the last parting shot. Over the years, there have been quite a few evaluations that have been done, but the concentration mostly on the state capacity to deliver. That's part of our presentation, looking at challenges and limitations. There is work that has been done now, which is going to take between 3 and 5 years. The Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, the Commission, and the International Initiative for Impact Evaluation is currently conducting an evaluation of the impact of restitution to beneficiaries. The methodology that is being used is one where they measure what is going on in the life of a beneficiary at different stages. So we, as part of the process, we have all the people that have claimed, a sample gets selected, and we check which phase of restitution your claim is. This is what the life is now, and then we check at different points, including after you have received restitution and the 2 years after you have received restitution. And that's a study that's going to take between 3 and 5 years. Now, once that study has been done, we will then be able to share using real life examples of how people's lives have been impacted by the restitution program. There are, that's what is a comprehensive study. There have been studies where, for instance, Professor Bernadette Asmahen from the U.S. came and did a study of 50 claims settled that had been paid financial compensation in an urban setting. How much they were paid, what they did with their money, and what impact that money had on their lives. And she wrote a book and she made recommendations to the commission, all of which were implemented. But that's why the school was schooling. So now with 3IE and EPM, we are now going broader and having a much bigger sample and looking at more issues that are more comprehensive compared to all these other studies that have been done. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Commissioner, for a very well-compiled, very clean, straightforward presentation. Before I give Honourable Members an opportunity to engage in the presentation, I think it would be very, very helpful from my side also to reflect on one of the key things that I think Honourable Members need to focus on. The presentation is very honest and it brings about a number of key issues such as the theme of the property deal, the outstanding bank claims and direct collaboration with other departments and stakeholders in this regard. In addition to that, there is a need to integrate or get the integration of the EPICOM program across all the tiers at local and national level. And it is very important to remember that for appropriate indicator or measure aimed at monitoring the process or speeding up the life form and distribution, those are able to tell the real story on progress. But what is very important is the Commission has taken a step forward to do the so-called measuring and to check the organization effectiveness to be able to perform its function by intervening and getting assistance using the 7S model, the machine C model, and I'm sure you've seen those 7S strategy structure with the staff, and there's a need to improve operational effectiveness to be able to improve their function. I think, in my view, that was very, very encouraging. The Commission's really keen to move forward to improve the work that they do. Honourable Members, I'm not going to waste time. We have about 10 minutes before we get to around 11, not really 10, 5 minutes, but I'm going to give 10 minutes for all the members to take the presentation. Question for Larissa, over to you, Honourable Member. I've noted the chairperson, I've noted Honourable Kildani, Honourable Mandela, and Honourable Chavez in the order. Thank you.
Thank you. got a few questions or comments to make. First, the clarity on the issue of the African state as a deficit system by 2015, which is around 1984. Because this is the 8,784. What is it? What does it mean? Can you maybe clarify the difference between that figure and that one on the image? Then secondly, looking at the budget, the MTF budget, there's a slight increase. These are the only ways that we manage to be. With this, I find that I'm going to be able to educate your mind. Then the other one is the issue of, you know, when looking at your APC targets for 2017, number of land being settled or to be settled is 650. The number of same finalized, 454. I won't be able to, with the budget that has been to me, to pay the 454 because finalized claims and claims which have been, you know, either financial compensation or restoration, then that case is also. I won't be able to deal with the 454 claims that have been finalized. Again, this has been the number of claims 2015 which has been settled. Because settled means the Section 42 B. When you need that, it's going to approve the claim. And immediately after the claim says approve the claim, then that leads to finalization of the claim. Viewing the resources that we have, are we going to be able to deal with the claim, looking at the number of banks, and financial resources at our disposal? The 1,500 that is the research. Why the challenge is of the issue of the level of the research? How are you going to deal with that in order to make sure that you achieve this 1,780 looking at the challenge of the shortage of the perception within the commission? The other day there was a presentation that indicated to us that the restitution process can take up 124 years. Yes, looking at the budget allocation, you know, other issues. What is the restitution? We are aware that restitution is not an event, it's a process, but the 144 years, how many people will be able to reach, you know, especially the chain and up? Then the other one is the issue of the monitoring and evaluation. Yesterday, they raised the issue of that for the proposal of the amendment of the restitution. Because it caused conflicts, you know, between traditional leadership and also the CDA. What is the view of the commission? We were also told, I think the representation of Mr. Sauki, that the moratorium, that no new post, you know, no recruitment to the new post, and also the vacant post. Will not be filled. You must see how you will use the human resources that are available at your disposal in this particular time. How are you going to deal with this? Because dealing with the new case, old case, and also the current new case, because one of the proofs of the proposal was that there is a need for additional staffing so that you will be able to deal with both the old and also the new case. Thank you.
Page 14, or slide 14, the standardized business process. How are you always conducting that obstacle and one of the reference to the budget structure, appropriate delegation is not in place? How are you dealing with that?
Chapter 2 already commented that on the inadequate research capacity, so we respond to that on the cover, different case of fear. And we said in what you put in page 17, codification of the Session Strategy 1915, and the very good, that's what Syria Political Code chose
How are you going to handle that? Do you have the capacity, politically or otherwise, you know, to handle that sensitive matter? I appreciate what is contained in slide 22. It's always been my own contention that if we live up the land that was acquired prior to 1915, we are right of the future of so many people. So closely, the other thing was dealing with the exhibition bill in public works. And among the people stood up strongly and said this bill is totally of sync with our constitution, simply because it lays out all the land that are acquired before 1915 in terms of how it describes that, you know, property. So there are best sections in the public constitution. So I am very happy with the process that's about to unfold here. Lastly, what is the average time that it takes to finalize the claim? I know some cases will be in the extreme in terms of difficulty, study the process, whereas others could be very simple, just pushing paperwork. But others, on average, how many months do you take to from the bed and walks into your offices to the time that they've been either received a check or they appear in their charges? This includes the day on which you actually visit.
Because if you plan in the rent for sometimes free, you know, on the TV.
I think that it was something on 26. Sorry. I'm sensitive to your name, Supervisor.
Thank you, Honorable Secretary, Honorable Madela.
Thank you very much. I have covered in some respect in the issue of conducting another 44 years into at least a number of years that we all will be around. It's a very important question. Chairman of the concern, Honorable Kultani has raised out the issue of exceptions. Clearly, Bradley also welcomed the presentation. What has been said is that there is a differentiation between the exceptions and the restitution process. In the mind of the descendants of the Khoi in the family, they have no separation, in my understanding. It's also in terms of what they understood. The president announced in the state of the nation that when he made his announcement to the amendments change. Because from what I do know, is there have been a number of claims submitted that predate the 1930s. If you look at it from a bureaucratic point of view, then you would reject any application that predates 1913. And that obviously, and this is what Honorable Sultani also now speaks about the political implications of that. If you address it like indeed you will cut off a large amount of people who wish to have their land secondly, with regard to that, the establishment of the task force comprising of the organized coalition formations, contra lesa, etc. Is there an indication when that will happen? What a time frame would be if you would not want the situation that we, that this parliament still ends? And we are told where we were in the beginning in relation to the issue of exceptions. The qualification one would have expected at least a discussion document would have been circulated at this point in time. Lastly, the Department of Monetary Relations and the Human Rights Commission has indicated here, I think the slides for 14, 15, and 16. I think the limitations and challenges that have been raised, I think that is very important. But apart from your closing remark, we don't get the sense the Commission division say, okay, we accept the rules challenges, and this is what we are busy doing to address those rules challenges. Thank you.
The took a very good presentation, actually tells us where we come from, where we are, and where we should be in the future going forward. I think that there are some good things that we need to tie up, like for instance, you know, increasing the number of statistics, increasing the number of statistics. By the rate at which we are going, I don't think we'll be able to reach this target. Given what I think are the some cases that are called low flying fruit. Like if for instance we are claiming a land that is owned by the state, why should it take this long to get the claim settled? This is something about the claims, like I said, on the claim in the Bangalore area, where they lost their land. Part of it, they lost it to the building of the dam. And then later, there was a program to raise all of the dam. And the backwater of the dam makes them further to lose even further part of their land that they are claiming. And it's not only this we are claiming, particularly the first round claim of 2 million was the Poshkov claim. But I had interaction with the Office of Limpopo Commissioner, and I called them, you know, asking them questions about particular claims. They promised to call me back. When they called, they couldn't get me. When I called them back, they were not available, but it's like I'm the one who's supposed to chase them. As a member of parliament, if I phone from the hospital, I accept that if you do not get me, and I try to get hold of you, I'm expecting you to chase you with the information. Not me chasing you to get the information that you have need to provide to me. And this creates very wrong impression to communities that we serve in our sequences. When you say, I'm serving in this community, and I promise you will get answers within a short space of time. And what do we get? Cold water thrown in your face. How do you go back to those communities? The only thing you say to them is to join them in criticizing the commission. Because I cannot defend something that has been requested for me. Requesting information is not getting. And this community is something about, but not a Sudan claim and a bunch of people. We bring them up for the agri-parks. They enthusiastic, they want to participate. But the commission is holding their land. The reasons are very, very limited. I don't think there's any reason that can hold water that these people should not, why these people should not get their land. There's no one who can find their land. And that's what we did. What they told me is that there is somebody who has invaded their land. He has put close to 100 heads of cattle on their farm. This community was rented 6,000 years ago. I mean, they used it from the Department of Land Affairs. And they are lead documents there who are done by the now Deputy Minister Moshe. The documents were given to the minister's office as part of a plea that at least if before you settle this extend our lease expired and our land is invaded. Why is it so difficult to at least to give them a lease as they are still waiting for the result of the restitution process? But this does not make sense to me. It makes them angry, and maybe I'm able to visit them again. I'm a deliberating commissioner that at least if you could write a letter to the office in Borova. I know traditional leaders who they are representatives who will tell us to the commission in Limpopo requesting information. I'm the person who was receiving a letter. The letter was written to us and advocating for them. Because that is the representative. It's another lawyer in the community writing to who he thinks would be able to understand his concerns. But still, nothing comes out of those requests. I'm listening to Kulilas, and I belong to the real family. So. And most traditional leaders, when they have questions on matters related to land, I'm the only MP who's been in the community from the Pope. If anyone coming from Sukumiland, where people don't get communication about what is happening in the community. So that was separate. I propose that the commission should, since the changes, we now have a national commission that are responsible for restitution. I don't know the structure of that. That Maposo used to be the head, but now is now in the department. That you throw a program to visit communities to tell them about the changes in the position. And so the communities should know, instead of coming to me, because they don't get answers from me, because I can't give them answers, but I can't get them from the commission. That maybe the commission should do an outreach program to visit all communities that have outstanding claims, to give them about where their claims are. You know, and these are the difficulties that you are facing when dealing with this kind of things. There's nothing noble than people knowing that every end you will definitely get what you are looking for. But otherwise, presently, the people have talked to, particularly traditional leaders, have lost hope. And these are among the things that make people to be hostile to the Sukuma amongst others. That if you are not educating the in all this problem, and you want us to approve this, and you don't even talk to us, we don't know what to expect moving forward. I'm just saying, let us thank you, the commission, by going on and out this program to bring people in and think, where are they, what is going to happen in the future. Let us not hide the difficulties that we are facing. Communities. We need to inform them that we have these problems because you are claiming and counterclaiming. But wishing this problem away is not going to help us anymore. Because we'll settle all the claims and we'll claim this one. I'm claiming that should be taken very, very seriously before something terrible happens, like people demonstrating.
Thank you, Kajin Chavele. That's what is coming out here from the comment by Honorable Chavele, that elected that we all know that the constitution is very, very clear that Parliament is elected to represent people and ensure government by the people out of the constitution. So, Deputy Commissioner, there you are. You have key issues that have been raised by Honorable Members. First for clarity, if we can set up within the next 10 minutes so that we can wrap up the session, that would be great. And then I would also know if you can take additional follow-up from Mr. Member. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Facilitator. And as the chairman of the committee, the commission has had numerous challenges in the past with statistical information. And we are continuously checking and double-checking information relating to our statistics. Referencing the presentation to the figure 8,733, and those were less claims that were accepted outstanding as of June 26. So if, for instance, you are to take the claims that have been settled from June until the 1st of December 2015, then balance is going to be what is outstanding. So the baseline for the information that has been verified for the purposes of where we are come from the work that was done and finalized in June of 2015. The issues relating to the budget. There is an increase, but it's not substantial, and that is because of the current economic climate. Then our department and National fourth parliament was promised by the Minister of Finance that there would be a review of the funding model for restitution. And that work is ongoing. The targets the next financial year are taking into account the resources that are available to the Commission, both human and financial. So when we say 650 net claims will settle, we have the resources for that. And in respect of all the targets that we have. When it comes to research, our strategy for research is partnerships. We have partnered with research institutions. They are currently assisting us to conduct the research of the complex claims in particular. We are conducting district-based research where researchers focus broader than just one landfill. So if we are dealing with claims in a particular district, they will then assist us to take information regarding that district. Only then we then look at different claims within that district. The claims that are not so complex are dealt with internally within the Commission, and as our partners are assisting with the actual research, they are doing work with our officials so that there can be a transfer of skills. Then the targets that have been set out, we are confident that through this partnership and the work that the Commission officials who in the research of claims that we are going to meet the target. It will take 144 years to settle claims. That is an arithmetic exercise that has been done and it was started by the Transvaal Cultural Union of South Africa, where they took a figure of 279 billion. That regulation assessment that it would cost to settle the claim and then divided by the budget allocation presently and then they came to 144. What that exercise does not take into account is number one, the nature of the claim, which at the time they did the exercise they did not know. Of the claims that have been lost, more than 90% of them are for financial compensation. Then there are claims, obviously, currently, the bulk of the claims that have been lodged are in respect of urban dispositions in particular. We are balancing a lot of claims in the government offices themselves, and they are all in urban centers. The mobile units are there, and they are sent to rural areas, and they are collecting claims from rural areas in particular, and we are seeing nothing. For restoration are increasing compared to that period when we did not have the mobile management unit. Now, what the study does not take into account is the fact that there are claims, a lot of them, that are going to settle without paying anything. My household was part of the community. I was not verified for one reason or another. A household like that will go and put up and then lodge a claim. When we investigate the claim, find that this person actually belongs to that community, setting their claim will only mean that we add that person as a beneficiary of an existing communal property association. And that will not require any additional finances. The president signed into law the Property Valuation Act, the Valuer General. The office has been established as a Valuer General in South Africa. His first task is to codify Section 25(3) of the Constitution such that when land is acquired for land reform purposes, we pay just an equitable compensation and not just the market value. Now, the impact of that is not taken into account. Resources are going to be acquired to settle the claim, but there are other developments that are taking place which do not get taken or they are not considered when such calculations are done. We do not think that it will take 144 years to settle the claims that are going to be launched. The issue of traditional leaders and simply the conflict that takes place, the recommendation that the act should be amended so as to clarify the different roles, that effect is going to be clarified by the communal entity. In the department presentation yesterday, it was indicated that that bill is a priority bill for this calendar year. We have been working very hard in the department developing that bill. The communal land tenure model that will be made law by that bill addresses the issues of the different roles between traditional leaders and CPAs. Traditional leader role is that of the moral authority, and that part is going to be dealt with in the bill that is going to make its way into this committee. Again, in the presentation yesterday, reference was made to a moratorium that has been placed, and the reason for that is indicative allocation, budget allocation for next year. The moratorium is placed solely for the department to understand what are the impacts of the proposed budget reduction on the organization. But in the commission, we are doing other work that could actually result to a situation where we do not need as many resources as people would think. For example, we are in the process of developing a mobile application that is going to assist in the research of claims. If a person has registered rights, at the time of it was disposed because of the Procurial Act, they were appropriated and they were paid compensation. If not paid that long to process that claim, it takes a long time now, because you must physically go to the deed office, physically go to the rear general, physically go to public work to collect information. And with this mobile application that we are developing, all of that information is going to be centralized and available in a handheld device that the person conducting research is going to be allocated. So we are looking into technology to also assist. We started already with the claims that have been lost, all of them lost electronics. There is no claim form that is filled, a manual claim form when lodging a claim. It's all captured, and that system was developed such that it would be improved in the future to incorporate the electronic processing of a claim. So now, with those innovations, the moment they come in, they then ask us a question, and the main people that have been doing that work. For instance, in Umalang, we have an official who's employed to help us with deep sessions. Her job is just we provide her with information, these are the properties we want, find this property, where is it now? Some people will launch a claim using a 1953 property description. How is it described now? That official does it. The app will then make it possible for the commission to use that official for other things. Yes, there is a need for resources, but if we look at the economic climate, it requires all of us to innovate and find different ways of providing services. The commission, before the structure was rationalized, was very easy. In the committee, there were in the past 7 regional maintenance commissioners, and currently we have one. One of the reasons we have one for now is because the same effect should get the same response from the commission. We have instances where the same effect could get 7 different responses because we are dealing with 7 different individuals. And in the process, because the act is implemented mainly, the restitution is implemented mainly through the regional elections commissioner, they then developed ways of doing things in their office that were responding most of the time to the challenges in that particular office, in that province. So you then have At the end of the day, it will be settled. But how we're going to settle it with all of different steps. What we are now doing is to standardize it so that when the minister looks at whether it's still proper to have one regional lending commission or should we have more, then those that will come will now have one blanket approach of dealing with issues. The issue of delegation has been a claim to settle a claim the minister is the power. There are some claims that we settle by acquiring land for 750 rand. And that goes through the claim process as a claim for a million and higher. And so there is now a delegation framework in place, and we are reviewing other areas, looking at other areas which where delegation can be done. Now, on the expression, so I can demonstrate what exactly we mean. In before, we had a claim that was brought from the Tshwane Royal House. And the Tshwane Royal House said to us, they are the descendants of Tshwane. The municipality is in Pretoria, in the city of Tshwane, named after the man. He was the king, and he was before that by the court tracker around 1880, so roughly 100 years before the native land had not passed. They launched a claim on the institution and was dismissed because it was possession before 1980. And through the exception program, we have tracked them and we have called them back again. There are still issues about Swanee and relating to traditional leaders, which we are also sorting out with the Department of Traditional Affairs. But the statue, there are three statues in front of the city hall in Pretoria. The first one is Swan. That Swan was buried in Vondel Wall under a fig tree. The fig tree is still there. The land is now the Vondel Wall National Reserve, it's 200 hectares. And every year, on Heritage Day, the Tshwane Royal House goes and they have events to commemorate the life of King Tshwane. And every year they must ask the city council for permission to go and do what they do. Now, the exceptions, we say they are for, to cater for the defense of the core and the best heritage has an historical legacy. The grave of Tshwane is important. It is a heritage, a landmark, and it's a historical landmark. So the exceptions are then going to enable us to use the history of the land that has been fixed to then redistribute the land to Swan. We're not going to say we are restituting it. Restituting is giving you what you want. We are saying because of the history that is there, now we want you to have access and more access to this land. Now we also say that through these exceptions, we want to help in the project of building United Nations. Okay. So the fig tree is down there. Up the Molagana Hill, within the 200 hectares, on top, there is an old fort. The old fort was built by the 400 hectares when they were defending that land which they had taken from Swahili against the British. Yeah. And this old fort is important. And to the African government. How then, through the exception, the African can come and say, hey, no, the form that we built, how in 200 hectares can we make the Swan and the Four Clever work together? So that is what the exceptions are going to be all about. But that explanation deals largely with critical parts in the historical landmark and the role that it can play in building a United Nation. For the descendants of the core entertainment, we have worked over a period of 2 years organizing them as we have said. We have had conferences with them and we are in constant engagement. The Human Rights Commission is currently doing hearings into the human rights situation of indigenous communities of South Africa. For a trade reason, they are only focusing on the oil and the sand. And a report is going to come out that assesses and is going to table and this is one of the committee's work from support, affecting what is really going on out there. We are in contact with structures and work with the core effect structures so that they can understand what the policy proposals are. When we had Chipan 2 second conference, it is more than 1,000 delegates representing core effect committee that said, you know, if this thing can't work, it's restitution, it must be redistribution. And it is through those consultations that this program is being developed. The Human Rights Commission, Honorable Mandela, and TPSC recommendations, they are the backbone of the strategic plan of the Commission 2015 to 2019, to 2020. With our autonomy program, we are going to be able to address all of those things that are raised under McKinsey's three lines. In the situation is very complex with the traditional leaders. Colleagues who say to us, after every copy, they achieve. There is land, most of which is state land, and there will be two proclamations for instance. There's a land place, the land is proclaimed in favor of two different chiefs or two different tribes. And when we are trying to work using the Restitution Act in that, in a situation like that, it becomes very difficult. So what we have done is we have developed the problem in Mposikoko. And we initially were going to approach the Provincial House of Traditional Leaders in Limpopo, but we discussed the matter with the chairperson of the National House of Traditional Leaders. And he has committed a land committee of their house to assist him. So there is a program of trying to see how we can be assisted by traditional leaders to find the solution to some of the claims on state land in Sikukune in particular. There are instances where there is a claim on state land elsewhere, and the challenges are not as difficult as in Sikukune. And those who take the point that says it doesn't require so many, especially financial resources, to get there. And we accept that, and we're going to explore them. On the bushcraft claim, we will take that forward and we will find the answers that are right. Then the last one, Honorable Sultan, all the claimants that whose claims you are dealing with now lost their claims for 31 December 1998. But if a file gets allocated, it was not better if it gets allocated on average between starting working on the file and finalizing the file, take 18 to 24 months. If it is, if no claim is visible, but if it is normal in inverted commas. But if it is a claim, for instance, there is a claim in Woodspring of 794 pounds, then obviously that is a bit more complex. It will take a lot longer.
Thank you very much, Deputy Commissioner. I think the chairperson understands the fact that there was a lot of information that you have to share with the committee. I know that we ran out of time, but I think the information was very helpful for the committee, and I think the interest of time that has been allowed me not to take any further questions from the members of the committee. I'm sure there will be other opportunities later to engage the commission on all these issues and matters. But I think the information was public to help the committee to plan better in this regard, and maybe to put the commission in the program of action for future engagement. The person I'm going to request that before we go to the main program of the delegates about the waiting session of the committee, we take 5 minutes break, just grab a water, tea or whatever outside, and then we proceed all the way until lunch uninterrupted. Just to prepare members, this is going to be a working session. it's really now your job as medical members to really come in. What is the kind of operation? Something that's going to come. We normally call it like this as like thinking instead of planning. Then you can always have behind closed doors. But here, you're probably thinking free, expressing the issues, making, you know, all those statements that we need to make with the planning. Take a 5 minute break first, see what happens, we come back immediately at quarter to 12. Let me proceed around till now. Thank you very much.
that's one of the committee supplies. No, just the quarters yesterday. Of the yeah. On the deposit, hmm? This is right, it's fucking October.
Meaning maybe that the date
is that what he this what he gave, I wasn't here yesterday.
Yeah, this is what they did yesterday.
But it's dated 14 October.
Actually what you're saying. Maybe the date on which the report was tonight.
From Perth. But why did he present it yesterday?
Yeah,
this is a bit damning, eh?
But maybe it's because maybe they finalized it what you told us.
No, he comes with an old report that he's just here. He makes that decision. How does this work now?
No.
How does this work? Intolerant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So what did you present yesterday? Yeah. Eugene was here. How long have you been? How's that paper? Almost a bit.
Say, look at me.
Yours.
Yeah. Okay. Who must I get some food now?
Good morning, colleagues. Let me just teach us.
morning, and after giving yesterday the content that right the chapter that made clear amplified statement that this committee is very good up in terms of functionality. So let's walk the talk. I know we have some time, so let's make use of what is available to us. Certainly, I think we need the Honorable Sarajay and Honorable
thank you.
support what has been said by my chairman in my monument. But I think it's to identify gaps between policy and implementation and zoom into them with the idea to constructively engage the department to make the necessary corrections, and also to see whether the things that are being spoken about are actually being implemented on the ground. How is the committees receiving that type of thing?
Thank you. In short, what first is it done? Thank you very much.
No hope that at the end of the day would have been able to develop statutes and constitutionally compliant people focused policy as well as an implementable program of action considering the fiscal needs as well as the other resources that may that enable the committee to implement this program. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sultani. Honorable Robinson. Thank
you, Mr. Chair. For that, gentlemen, my name is Ken Robinson. I am from Mpumalanga. I've been following for 2.5 months. I think I'm covered by the gentleman and the lady, gentlemen and the lady before me, basically the implementation of solutions and a better understanding of the challenges that we face. Ultimately, I want to be able to see us applying measures of redress effectively, redressing the issues of the past, and basically restoring people dignity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ensuring that the people dignity is stopped. Remember, again, when I emphasized after Honorable Cabinet, emphasize the importance of looking after or making sure that the people are represented according to the constitution that permanently gets elected and then they get elected to represent the people. So that's the essential. And in my interview with the committee, what comes out of the first members of the committee is about people. When I remember the discussion in the parliament about the main people who want to mention one of the time. The fourth parliamentation. Honourable members, without wasting time, I was going to receive this assistance for agriculture when we comply the proceedings of this session. And I see that the expectations are very reasonable and are very, very clear. And it sounds like what is to come out of this session is something like very clear, simple, realistic, implementable, and right. So, it's going to be a very, very interesting exercise, honourable members. Not easy though. What we have in terms of our program, honourable members, is we know the functions of the mandate of the committee, that the chair has been outlined quite nicely at clearly yesterday. Not going to go deep into that, what we know. It deals with all those aspects of the constitution, that is legislation, oversight, public involvement, cooperative government, international trade. Those are the 4 C1s. Of which the four of them are really here in the position. Honorable members will notice that I'll just give you a small budget size, high level summary of the fifth parliament budget plan, which is at the high level of parliament. So I'm going to encourage honorable members to keep this all the time and familiarize themselves with. We all know that the strategic plan was adopted in February last year after the elections in 2014. And the budget is in law. Parliament is established, but it takes about 6-8 months to eventually come up with a plan for the term of Parliament. And it comes to be taken long ago. Eventually, came in February in the National Assembly and then in the Council of Province. Remember, everyone members, for every part of Parliament, there must be a goal for that particular action. So the next thing would be to say, in terms of Parliament for this system, what are the goals? What is that Parliament going to do during this test? So we're going to go through those in the next slide. Then after that,
most digital experts to say, this is what we do as a committee, and this is what government wants all the committees, as any member of parliament to do, in terms of policy priorities, as satisfied in the outcome-oriented goals. Now, as parliament, we see the mandate in the context of the environment where we oversee the department and other relevant actors. What is that need to focus on? What is that need to face? What is, how do we see what the goals are in terms of what we find ourselves in the space? So that is what we do, Honorable Member. And it's very hard about it. It's mainly about taking into account what we have had and what we know, what we have experienced in terms of our interaction with the department. Some of them emanated yesterday, some today, some of them emanated in the previous engagement with the department. Those are the key issues that the department must focus on in this planning. This is like for the health, the remaining of the care. So it's really about planning, not for next year or plus up until the end of the term of parliament, that is up to 2019. The next step is on those issues. We need fragmenting of the committee, because this is a fragmentation. We need to look at what it is that we need to do, what it is that we need to put in place to address those key issues that we have formulated as our class. Last part is, which normally is indicated in the committee ADP, will be the area. Links to those objectives, targets, links to those KPIs and objectives, and assessing. I hear you, Honorable Members, there was a strong point in terms of program objectives. That component, that block of taking, must be very clear and simple, and that gives you the day-to-day program of parliament, including the targets that you have set and the KPIs that you have set. I know this is the language that we all know, because from time to time, we engage the department in terms of all these issues. Now, this is our time. We're looking at us as a unit, we get us as a organization. So, we're taking from that perspective to say, this is what we forget about any other thing. The department is not here to oversee ourselves today. So are we doing what we're supposed to do? Where are we going wrong? What is it that we must improve? So that's something that's going to be fast. And let's make it fun to remember by engaging as far as possible. So that is basically what we're going to do. As I've indicated, to be very important, because if the document is head-high, let's summarize like statement based. In terms of legislation, the chairman indicated yesterday that the role of this project or any other municipal parliament to facilitate the passage of legislation, the process of legislation. Now, in this fourth term, in this term of parliament, parliament has engaged as much possible and set itself to make sure that the ability to exercise its legislative power through consolidated and implementation of integrated legislative process by the end of the term in order to complete its constitutional responsibility. So all the challenges, all the new ends, all the administrative processes in terms of legislation, we now have to ensure that everything is brought together. For example, you might have a committee, this committee that deals with the legislation that is that has a constitutional committee. What is important is to have this on the committee to work with them to make sure that those new ends are right now. And also make sure that there's enough support within the institution to make sure that the process is as smooth as possible and is really facilitated speedily. So those are the things that we need to do. So when we come up with key issues that we are facing in terms of legislation, it will be in that context, and the strategy will be to move towards the direction. Then the next point about oversight. The goal, the second goal is also to enhance parliament oversight and accountability over the work of the executive and to implementation of objectives for the medium term for experiment legislation. The first parliament strategy or goal was not specific, but not really focused on the socializing the executive nature. The executive was put together a plan in a form of NEP, which is directed over the medium term. The first term is 2014-2019. In a regular term, it says it's going to end. So, as a point, we need to focus on those things that are in the potential plan year to year, and make sure that those policies are implemented. So, very, very critical. So, everything that we do to face as a committee, we need to focus there and say, these are the things that need to be done, and how are we going to monitor or do another mission. So, in terms of community practice and KPF, our KPF must be very clear, must only focus on those actions that we need to undertake as a committee that are a good night in the action of the case.
and not, for example, say, use the number of reports that the committee releases. That's not that. So if I give the example that says, even for that information, the recommendation to a name for the agency implemented, and they be implemented. So we need to use two kinds of things so that we can check our performance as a committee. That exercise we will happen later when you the education data and outcome. The third one is public involvement. Parliamentation and public involvement, the process of parliament to realize participatory democracy through the implementation of the public participation model. Honourable members, I'm sure you're aware that the public participation model that was completed by the whole parliament and then you are literally taken as a legal human through the parliament. The current working group is now hearing and due to be launched by the end of March for implementation. Then document by our public participation needs to be conducted. The model, the working model, the assignment to guide the members of the committee, how it should be done. So, I think that we do in terms of the in line with that guide model. The third one is the cooperative government, which is necessary of the constitution. As a committee or a parliament, there's a need to cooperate and collaborate with other states of government on the common interest and ensure cooperative and sound but it goes beyond the terms of committee. What do you want to do in the committee environment, the committee system? We say committees themselves, for sure, committees in the committee, to be able to also work together and cooperate and plan together to avoid the so-called oversight subsidies. I just give you that example because the then president of the National Council of Programs, the Honorable Matan, who used the example to say a committee, the health committee can decide or a committee on the so this collaboration is very important. So when you come up with objectives and indicators in that aspect, it must be very clear in terms of what action are going to put in place in which one you need that particular goal and the values below it. The last one I want to remember is the international relations. This is with the agreement, to what extent are we involved at the beginning, not at the end, in terms of those agreements that the agreement and have into. So there's a need to know that we are correctly, we don't wait for the agreement to be brought to the house, but this process within the committee whose mandate to deal with the case, so that by the time it gets to the house, the committee has essentially engaged in that. In the past, we have parliament was just taking the car after, and that's the issue. So these are the things that the key parliament needs to change. Having said that, honorable members, this really was guide us. The committee president and SEP should actually be based on this particular outcome or its goals. There are no specific criteria for the committee. The committee strategies are going to be guided by this. Each and every committee will actually formulate their own objectives, but most of them will be exactly similar. In the threshold of parliament, we have more than 12 of the committees, but those are related to what the Republican Party needs to do. But it is not, in terms of what parliament needs to do, it is something that every committee to play and formulate the objective in line with the departmental level. So other members are that. So the next step in terms of our program is that outlined in the media slide is to put F bullet number 7. Key is institutions yesterday, and engaged with all other stakeholders previously up to today. What is the that to the committee? Or what is that to the members of the committee are with? What are the benefits? What are the issues that we need to deal with in this very sense? Thank you very much.
You are right, very much. Thank you. I'll quickly list some issues for you, and my colleagues also have a number of other issues. Chair, heading into your first round, which has been that without such plan, you tend to reproduce, run through the same basic manner, irrespective of new development. So, but I'll pick up issues that I think the first one, the other day we did ask the question about the implementation of the the regulations and everything. It's a big
scientific tools are looking at us that we may not be looking at. And to just focus, it's going to amplify our questions on land grabbing, it's going to amplify our questions on planning, where the sports can do it, and add profits whole issue on it. Sometimes the redistribution has been synonymous with agricultural, which shouldn't be the whole range of functions, food, cleaning, everything. So land allocation is the flu month, like that issue. The second one shows, over the past 24 months, close to, since the advent of the feed farmers, we raised the issue about NARC, the Rural Youth Development Program, just to fill you in there. And I'm not buying of you, but you'll be surprised to hear that youth have trained anything from 3 to 5 years and come out without any certification or qualification. The committee unanimously across party has been very firm on this, and I think out of this 10, we must make sure that when the legal report is done, narrative for the first time, those 5,000 who come with certificates, they can see someone, they are professionals in a sense, you know, maybe like any other trained teacher, nurse, a casual extension officer or something. So the narrative certification, if any issue, our report, I'll picture the quickly without speaking on the issues, I know there's about 20, but I'm just speaking only my handful. Valuation, the OVG, which is spoken about this morning, also the Valuation General, which is an office that will help whenever government wants to buy them out of the willing buyer, willing seller, GPBS. You will find that many prices are inflated. So that office came in as a mechanism. And therefore, say, Chair, in the discussion with the strategic plan, we need them to say, how do we bring OVG to at some point sit nearby and to play its role? Because the establishment cost, I think, is only 2 million, the first tranche. To build, I mean, to capacitate that office, I think about 2 million in the last financial year. So the Office of the Valuer General is very, very strategic to help us against pollution. This then I'm selling it at 15 million, but that then is worth only a poor 250,000, it's coming 15 million, so that obviously would be our objective, Chair. Then, Chair, you were here yesterday, the ICD is a finish. I did invite the office of the AG to reflect when ICB reflects, because I intend to only receive the ICB version if the AG doesn't raise hands immediately and say, but this is our side of the story, how the outcome of the thing. The ICB chain, what in the past 2 years has been very funny, all entities you heard of in the parliament where you were chair, they, when the board is appointed, comes before the parliamentary portfolio committee for interviews and ultimately for recommendations. Because it's the only, as far as I know, board that never comes to parliament for endorsement and interview of the board member. So it's appointed elsewhere. So whether your legal protection in parliament would help us to say, is that in their act? How can we put it in line with the rest of the entities? FAA, FABC, blah, blah, blah. All entities are appointed via a process of parliament as well. So, Chair, I'm mindful that you find that having a key issue. And then the last one would be the amendment of law. We interviewed radio in the session last Wednesday, and it looked like the security of farm dwellers and others. So the amendment of laws acts as CPAA Act and the number of laws came in since yesterday. So how best is one say the amendments of laws, and they involve a lot, and they will really help a lot with the people you ask us to lift up issues. And then end of the show with the audience that any other committee should be. What the PFMA Public Finance Management Act means is the PFMA and the constitutional imperatives that committee should do. The quarterly report, the annual report, and some other, in my other life, we also had in year, which is halfway through the year. But the annual report, the quarterly report, even the policy statement report, which we must then report to, those are the routine things there.
that any committee should do. I'm just saying, after the 39, the chairperson clearly stated first objective when it was done. After the 30, we have any action plan that we end up with. In my imagination, with these things, I would say we can mark out back home and say to the people we've done our bit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Winnie. I must have to tell that there's no limitation in terms of expressing ourselves. This is our time. We actually need more and more and more that we can help for the information as a technical team to be able to say, this is your plan. This is what we'll say as a member of the committee. Thank you very much. Honorable Sultan.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Chair. A couple of things that concern me as we go about in our day-to-day functions. I have taken time during the seminar period to reflect on the effectiveness of the committee insofar as the oversight is concerned over the department. I must say that regrettably, I don't know whether we are ineffective or whether the department is deliberately impervious. I cannot recall an area where I would say as a committee we made strong enough to say please improve here and they've come there with the fighting of us. I'll give two or three instances. Poor expenditure. We moan over an expenditure of about 5 million the previous year. Guess what? They multiplied that figure by 10. And we had the first concern. I remember one meeting when our own chair expressed real concern about the department's low pace of expenditure. And there it is at the end of this previous, the last financial year. It's gone up to over 50. An area where we felt as a committee had really strengthened eyes during the course of the year. For instance, the training of the MIR, the new people. And we then sometimes mid-year to say, look, we're encountering this problem about unqualified training centers. We could have come up with ideas and suggested alternative methods. 10 million was spent on households at such a sensitive time when every household in South Africa, needs that extra bit of cash. And this now reflects on the effectiveness of part of the body, how we do it away, as well as the ongoing, perennial problems with the ICT. I'm glad that Honorable Mbuna has highlighted this. I'll look at it, okay, together, with your permission, Mr. Mbuna, and say, indeed, we expect the minister to involve us in the process, under the other three committees. And again, the Minister of Agriculture would say, give me names. Minister of Sport would say, give me names for this. But never for the Minister of Land Reform. And yet, there are certain problems with the ICT, ongoing, literally, and creeping, the image of the story is almost like we sit here, have nice cakes and food, and just awful, and yet we make a lot of noise. So I think we feel challenged that we need to shun our kids, so to speak. And the other thing I want to talk about is the amount of time, this has to do with the planning, the general planning. Some committees start at 9:30. Our committee starts at 10. Now this is, I don't mean that you criticize our share and but it's something that I have been thinking about, so whether that's the specific reasons why we start at 10. As much as we always get the liberty to speak, quite at length in court, she never leaves us unreasonably, when she leaves us because of real time constraints. But perhaps we could give ourselves more time, for that, And lastly, being such a central, committee in the context of the department that we work with, in the context of land reform, I have got a feeling, and I know I didn't address the change in National Assembly, that the government should actually be spending more of its resources on land acquisition than anything else. I feel, you know, the department really needs to have a way look at this. I honestly feel that the department is spreading itself to many, very many programs that it is carrying, and this consumes our time as we're going to do oversight on all those programs. One of the political most present in the country nowadays, I hear, is land acquisition for the previous years for the spare people. I don't know how we can, you know, persuade the government as a whole to say things in that light. I'm particularly concerned about the fact that, you know, the land commissioner tells us that when they process land claims, people put their financial settlement. And this is not healthy, you know, in the long term. You can have a million rents. I've got a property in charter. I have many offers. I could sell it and pocket 1.2 million rents after settling the farm. I will change offers, because when I take a million rents and break it out, I find out I wouldn't need more than 5 years to blow that million rents. When I say blow, I mean what my day-to-day expenses, and I'm not a high price, very, very average. I'm definitely not a high price. My wife knows how to spend money. But I'm a loser, because I know how little you can go with a million rents. I know. Not more than 5 years a million rent, and yet I can rent that property for an average of 50,000 rent, my children and my children's children could speak in any number of it. I mean, I think it's probably good for the committee chair. There's some correlation that the department needs to do. Maybe what we should do as a politician, you know, teach our people the importance of opting for land rather than money. I think we've got that duty. You know, as politicians, it is crucial to see that they are minding the very purpose of the process of land reform. And their children will regret this, I'm telling you. They will get grandchildren, but in your grave, where did you opt for money? Where is that money? Money, let's go back to inflation. Property is imperious to inflation. Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you very much, Marco Pistani.
Thank you very much. I think I want to agree with Honorable Fultani. The whole issue of land reform, we must contribute in this first land quite tremendously to changing the pattern of land ownership in this country. So the whole issue of land reform, redistribution, restitution, all that took elements that also to increase quite tremendously. I think we have set a target of 30% by now. 2014. Oh no, we haven't met that target. I think we have now picked to 9%. So we have to, in this region, process up. We must look at all kinds of angles. If the issue relates around the fiscal matters, then as a committee, we must, as a committee, engage Treasury in a very robust manner, to fight for more resources. I think for this whole issue of educating our people to opt, as Honorable Fultani said, for land instead of compensation, I think we must play a role against the community in terms of awareness and education as part of our oversight of public participation process. For me, it's also very, very important that we look very, very closely at rural development. We are talking, rolling out, and investing in agri-parks. As a committee, we have been fairly absent. Our only discussions or engagement has been in committee meetings where we have one or two presentations around it. But I think in our oversight work, we need to engage there. It also seems very, very important to say that the sustainability, for example, our program, where found during the trials and given to people change. That we need to, as a company, work very, very closely with our sister committee, which is agriculture, forestry, and fisheries, in terms of ensuring that there are processes for those farms to be sustainable. What is presently happening is that I get a farm today. In 2 years' time, I'm leaving the farm because there's nothing I can do. Because the budget that I've been submitted, that budget takes a year and more for it to be implemented, you know. So in the meantime, everything deteriorates on the farm. The farm becomes a deregulated entity, and it's no longer a rival for me. So I argue that we are confronted with those kind of scenarios on a daily basis. I think the issue of the heritage problem is a very good one. It has to, in my mind, become the key problem in empowering it, in particular in the rural communities with skills and importantly with job opportunities, work opportunities. The challenges that are very important ones and have to be addressed. But I have a sense that our department is not clearly looking at, for example, at the National Skills National Skills Fund. I don't think that there is a kind of a close partnership with partner organizations because there are billions of rands in the National Skills Fund that are not appropriately utilized, that could have been utilized. In actual fact, mental high education and training will probably dig into the National Skills Fund reserve now currently to assist the students in terms of actually high education. But we, this department, haven't really looked clearly closely to what extent funding can be obtained from the funders and everything, and perhaps expanding. In terms of what they were saying to others, and this is something that we need to focus on, is a comprehensive rural development program. There's also a project in relation to that. 27,000 has participated in that, in the Ukraine. We are not quite sure the core content of the families, we're not quite sure exactly to what are the outputs of those issues, where are they, are they currently. Even that can increase the cost. It could provide a way out for thousands of people in being killed and being absorbed into industries in the rural area, especially now with the role of agri-parks. I think that's probably those things are very important. Of course, for me, on different levels, always the concern around the participation and the initiation of women, youth people, and people with disabilities in these programs. For me, that is very, very important that we do not forget those that have been marginalized previously, and we continue with this process of marginalization. But I think, Chair, also in line with our discussion yesterday, I think there is a need for us to go further our capacity as a company in engaging retaining opportunities for ourselves as committee members or the various, whether it's research institutions or tertiary institutions. I think we must look at that because that can further enhance our oversight and administrative just on that particular point, as Adam Gunia raised earlier, about all the legislations that we need to facilitate at the committee. There is one that we've been, when I first heard of for the first time, Some of us in the people which are what is called the kingdom, kingdom protection, or informal land like that. You know, perhaps our researcher can immediately begin to do some research. In large, added in some, we have been told it's being renewed annually or extended annually. Begin to look into exactly when rather than just being a matter of debate. What do you mean, our predecessor, or at the level of the civil service, but I think it needs to review this particular thing. And perhaps even if it means it is a legislation or amendment initiated by the body. This is something that we need to put on the card, because it's part of have an out lineup, a series of legislation that we need to process. This is not part of it. I think this should be added to the area. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The time it takes, I think we should need to look at the time it takes between lodgement of the claim and its settlement. The time it takes is too long. Or let's say look at cassettes, the time after that, because one, the claim is cassettes, it means no one can do anything on that property without consulting the claimant. The developer cannot, the owner cannot make modification or further development on the claim on the land, because if they are to do that, their interventions won't be recognized when the settlement is made. When we accept the claim and the negotiation, a price is agreed upon between the landowner and the department. And that part does not involve the community, the claimant. It is that at another level. And then what happens is, as time goes, before the money is paid, the farmer does not do maintenance on the equipment. So the equipment, all the water pumps, the irrigation pumps, the rust and all that, then the propagation goes down. By the time that the claim is settled, the claim is that they have nothing but production. They'll actually need more money now to start the project from scratch. And then suspicion and or evidence that in some instances within this period, some of the unscrupulous landowners actually steal properties, steal non-removable assets from the land, like the table farms, all the pressure farms. When you look at the machine, it looks like this thing can pump water any time. But when the settlement is made, no one goes to look at the asset register to say, when we made this deal, this way, things that were on the property were here. Let us test them before we pay. We pay and then you realize later that actually people are expecting to plow next month. But they cannot because there's nothing, you know, all the assets are stripped or are broken. And what do? We claim, we blame the claimant. You see, on the 30 months the lands are here. Now you have 60 months and you do what you see. The project has collapsed because now they are fighting over who should stay in the farm manager's house. People want to go to the farm manager's house because it's the only property, it's the only thing that has got, that has a roof over it. Everything else is gone. So I think we need ourselves as this committee to, on our oversight, to very actually establish, you know, that establish this fact, because I'm convinced that this is what has happened. And so that we can move the blame from the landowner, I mean from the claimant, But the blueprint, the thing that I had cleared the department to the commission and the commission, because they are the ones who are not exactly doing what they are supposed to do, and which will mean that we need to have more oversight, and when we do our oversight, we need to have an intense discussion to choose what we visit. Are we only visiting projects that are in billion, or are we looking at those again that are not doing very well so that we can help to make interventions? And when we visit this one, I mean, you know, I think we should be going to projects where we celebrate all the time. You know, I think this will help us to send the time. We are told by the commission that some claims are very difficult to settle. Why don't we go back to this commission to go and visit this community? Because they are saying the claims in Zukunen are difficult. Let's go to Zukunen and see for ourselves. Talk to tradition, to authorities, talk to claimants communities, bring the people together, have a Zukunen land dinner, and bring all other unrelated partners, including local government, traditional authorities, the district municipalities and all, into one city, and try to find solutions. Seeing that it's complex, and you don't take care to talk to people in the commission about the damage to food, and everybody, you know, they throw their arms, but it's very difficult, they're dying, and what. But we are politicians, our work is to go where no one can go, and go in there and make our intervention, make recommendations, make follow-ups, ensuring that we break this empire. The people of Sukul are people of Africa too. They too want to benefit from this freedom. They want to benefit from restitution. They want their land rights restored for them. I was saying earlier that the community ensures that the commission has open public participation process. Not only going in first to say come and register, but you must then tell people how far are we, this is where we started, this is where we are, these are the difficulties we are encountering. There have been changes in the commission in terms of structure. There are two commissioners, I think one is responsible for problems. Why don't we get this commissioner? Because it's a new person or it's a new entity, you know. To go out, call meeting them and tell claimants that I am the new person, who, if we have queries, talk to me. How about the rest of the party? You know. Why should people read their closed book when the book can be opened? I think we need to push the commission to call restitution in provinces and in communities where there are conflicts or where there are claims that are not resolved. I feel strongly about it, Chairperson. And I was this year was thinking about one of the questions that were asked by a journalist in Zimbabwe, so in the Lancaster House, where they went out with Joshua and government, they said, but what is your policy on land in Zimbabwe? And he said, I quote, that this war is about land, and private ownership of the land is foreign ideology. I strongly believe that we have to solve the problems of this resolution and land problems is to nationalize the land. There is no need for the commission. And all these other factors, people don't have their land. And yeah, we can make laws of how we manage and how we give people land. Because it seems like the route that we are taking is taking very long and taking lots of money than necessary. And there are instances where people have committed fraud in the department, I mean within the institution. We know about cases in Mpumalanga where the commissioner actually escalated prices higher, more than what the price of land is. Let's analyze the land. If the commission is not working, I will be within those who want this land to be nationalized. And like, this was when I became the president. That was the intention, to visualize the land that you went to the land, the land chapter.
If I should discuss that in a chapter, to emphasize that what development challenge is saying in terms of doing things differently, basically it says for implementation in terms of committees changing the program, the work of parliament. Instead of being in committee teaching the things, the committee should be on the ground. That is the intention, and that is kind of very, very clear from the deciding of the society. That's why it's very, very necessary for us.
But what you are saying, Chairperson, I think, must be accompanied by resources. Because we've got experience, there's a lot that we've learned. You know, as a committee, in most cases, we're in boardrooms. And we've been talking about this for several times, that we need to strengthen our public education and also public participation, you know, and be visible on the ground. But you develop your plan of oversight, which should be supported. The problem is financial concerns. So, you know, I think we have to highlight some of the challenges that we are facing as a community that hinders us from implementing our mandate. I think the first, let me start with the challenges. The one that I said now, that is development, but at the end of the day, we find ourselves, you know, in a corner where the plan is not implementable due to lack of funding. Then the other one, I think, is the delay in the submission of the report by department, because most cases you find that report being submitted to the committee meeting is maybe tomorrow. Then the committee will have that limited time, because you find that they submitted this, you know, 500 page document. How will we find a 500 page document, you know, in a few hours? Then the other one is the issue of the lack of, although I'm using the manual checking system, but I don't think that it's effective enough. I think if Switzerland is not mistaken, where they are using the electronic tracking system, all the resolutions of various committees are recorded electronically in due dates. If the due date is about maybe a day before, they start to indicate that there is a resolution that has been taken, cannot yet be implemented. Then the other one, you know, the program of parliament also sets up program as a whole. Because committees plan prior, then at the end of the day, you know, they have to have their activities. There's something that's happening in parliament, you know. Here you have to stop your oversight duties and rush to parliament. It's true that we have to be out, but you know, the support is not there, and the program doesn't talk to that. The other one, you know, our researchers, they rely on the information that is submitted by the department. I think that one is very crucial. Because, for instance, in the Mpumalanga legislature, we had a public participation unit. If we wanted that unit and the researcher to go out, there was funding for that. Because they have to go out and verify what is contained in the report before we consider that particular report. When we consider that report, we have to compare the information, you know, submitted by the department with the information of the researcher. Not the desktop, because the rewriting of what has been submitted by the department, they're not the different. Means that we are writing the departmental report. It solely depends on the information that has been submitted by the department. I think also that one has been taken into consideration. Then the other one, let me move then to the issues. I think the key issue is the development of the rural economy. We should lessen the migration from rural areas to urban areas. We should create jobs for the rural, you know, people, families to be set aside. I think colleagues have mentioned the issue of youth development with regard to skills development and also the creation of job through narrative. The issue of the infrastructural development is a government priority. I think that one is taken into consideration through the BRCT program. But the reality is that the BRCT program is that other departments are not buying in. Because if the Department of Rural Development, the coordinator, just the facilitator, if there is a school that is supposed to be in that therapeutic area, if the Department of Education, you know, doesn't come in, at the end of the day, it is the responsibility of the Department of Rural Development to build a particular school. In other words, it, you know, it directs or diverts the focus of the department to do other things which are not its competency. Honorable Mandela also highlighted the issue of our land reform, redistribution, restitution, and land tenure. The issue of repair will include the issue of food security and also supporting smallholder farmers. I think it was an issue that has been raised also yesterday with regards to the MAFISA. I think you're correct if you're saying that Department of Rural Development can't work alone. But they must work together with the portfolio committee of agriculture, forestry, fisheries, of water and sanitation, of labor. For instance, for the meeting that we had last week, you know, on other issues, COP, on the issues that were raised there yesterday with the issue of the traditional and cancer. I think those are the issues that I've identified. Issues that, you know, make us want to work as friends. Each and every time when there's committee work, the committee will come, each and every time when the committee meets, the committee will intend to go out. But if you make an application and the application is being taken down, what is it that you must want to do? So that is why we spend more time in the boardroom, depending on the information that is submitted to us, without being verified whether the information is correct or not. I think those are the issues that, you know, we get our oversight and monitor.
So, should we be making applications at that stage because it is programmed? I'll just ask you myself, and I'm thinking this is what the presiding officer and the executive parliament need to get. If you have a problem that is approved, and you say that the committee is like the committee which, where the committee is supposed to be on the ground, should be the chairperson of making applications to do that in the program. So those are the mechanisms that I think the secretary of the parliament and the presiding officer need to get, not to bureaucratize their process and then make it possible for the committees to perform their work. I'm just saying, that's the way I'm thinking around it, which is what I think administration needs to look at. I noted the honorable officer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm in my short time here. I don't think I'm committed or qualified to be able to pass judgment as how this committee works as well as the department. But the experience that I do have is experience on the ground, specifically with the land restitution issues. Unfortunately, only in Mpumalanga, where I hope from, our city Mpumalanga has been mentioned a few times by previous honorable. It is a problem in Mpumalanga. There's a couple of things that I've noticed, and this is, first of all, being on the ground is a functionality of the CEOs. The honourable member mentioned earlier in the previous, before tea time, that we should actually go around and visit people on the ground, they've got claims in, just to put them at ease, to tell them that we are busy handling their claims, because without their knowledge of happening, that is what's now causing protests and ill feeling to the government, as well as us politicians. But to add to that, I think while the department is doing that, I think what is very important is that the departments go around and do a full checkup of functionality of CPI, and will the CPI actually function on the property that's been claimed. On various examples that I can give, what ultimately happens is people have been called into client land, and on one specific farm, talking 585 beneficiaries, where the CPA committee consists of one family. And they, because they are, I would assume, in the majority, they would then dictate to the rest of the beneficiaries as to what's going to happen on the farm, how does it happen on the farm, and where the finances of this will be spent. But the issue is that they, the committee, the CPA committee, seem to have a close relationship with the government officials in part of what they actually do to the beneficiaries on the ground that are willing to work for us. We cannot have CPA committees that are dysfunctional and are not conforming to the constitution. For instance, if the constitution indicates that every 2 years a CPA committee needs to be rechosen or reformed, then that must happen. If the constitution indicates that only a certain family may represent the CPA committee, then that needs to be changed. That legislation needs to be changed as well. So that every beneficiary or any family can have a representative on that committee. Now, if you've got 585 beneficiaries from 15 different families, I used clearly as an example, then there should be 18 people on that committee, 15 of which are representing those families' interests on the property. And this is where a lot of the frustration comes in as well, because half of the crime people don't know what's actually happening to the clan. The other half is a very issue on clan land, about how discussion of the clan land are. It's creating an intense situation on the ground. Another thing that we've been asking for is a complete audit of land ownership in South Africa. It's not enough that we say, you know, farmers own 80% of the land. I very much doubt that it's true. What we need is a complete ownership, a composite audit as to who owns what land in South Africa. Specifically, who and how much land is arable and how much is owned by the state. And I mention this purely because not only for institutional purposes, but I mention this for rural development purposes, sustainability, and job creation, and the mentorship thereof. Even if we claim all the land that is supposed to be claimed in South Africa, there are still a massive amount of people that haven't got employment that would like to go into agriculture. And because they don't come from specific land or specific farm or specific family, they should still be entitled to follow up on their dreams and be restrictions of state land. So there must be that legislation in place. But the only way that's going to be happening is if we have a full audit of what owns what, who owns what in South Africa. Lastly, the support for emerging farms. The deputy mentioned earlier that the majority of the claims that have been handled are in the Orange Free State and the Free State. So, which is worrying because that is where the hammer fell the hardest with the drought. Emerging farmers don't have the infrastructure to be able to outlast this drought. Though they have cattle, the cattle are dying because they may not have the land, they may not have the agriculture, they may not have the infrastructure. What is it the government is doing to assist them, specifically the emerging farmers, with those issues? I go back to the functionality of the CPA. Finally, in my experience, what I've noticed about the CPA is, depending on their relationship with government officials in Dar specifically, it's true what my honourable counselor, my honourable minister says over here, and a lot of these things, I'm sure that there are farmers that, as soon as they had land in position, they fold their arms, they stop selling everything, and basically they're trying to get out of the deal as much as possible. And you know it's not fair, I know it's not fair. But on the flip side of the coin, once the bomb collapses, the infrastructure is on the farm. The lead on the farm. It does get sold for scrap metal because it's a form of sustainability. If they can't eat and there's a tractor that's broken in half, they're going to sell it. They're going to sell it for funding. But then what government needs to do is they need to be able to institute mentorship programs, properly institute mentorship programs. Because I don't think that the process can continue to bail out farms that have collapsed due to non-mentorship with millions and millions and millions of rand. What happens is the departments will come in, they'll put in 20 or 30 million rand to uplift the infrastructure of that specific farm or that property. And after 3 or 4 years, it's back to where it was again, because there's no issue. The people don't know what to do with it. It is essential that we live in this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Professor. Honorable members, we right at the point of lunch, but before we finish for lunch, I just want to wrap up this task, because when you come back, it's a different length of time. This FRC has said earlier that what is that honorable members are waiting in order that you can use the cost analysis agreement. I don't want to go through the Estonian, I know where every issue is. It is the responsibility of the technical class to do that. But also, it also is possible to also celebrate what we do. I don't think that there is a organization, as a committee, we can just say, there's something, there's a lot, quite a lot that is doing good, that we can not compare with other committees in terms of how we deal with challenges. I forgot to mention that, but also, just simply to express those areas that we can improve. We are doing good, but there's still room for improvement. And I also love to say the fact that, especially the honorable chairman, to his appointed to also look at those weaknesses that the committee is facing and the challenges. My intention was not just to look outside, but also to say, let's look everything away, including our own house and our own challenges that make it possible for us to be able to perform the functions that we are trying to perform as the committee has mandated and the constitution, the rules of the National Assembly. On the moment, I'm going to take the last 10 minutes or the last 5 to 10 minutes just in case there's something that will remain under the pass so that you can try it. And I know that before I speak, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson wanted to make a point that I think he forgot. And I think Honorable Chairperson has a little bit of a chance. I did get a slide that I wanted to say something, but it was kept at the point where I already gave Honorable Chairperson a chance. Is it the case? Thank you. I'm not going to say anything about the case, but if there's anything that they can't, thank you.
I think I've lost that point, Chairperson, but I have to say, on what Honorable Robinson said about the is what actually happens when the farm collapses. It's when the with advice from the department, they went to the same farmer that is sold the farm to come and help them with management of the farm. And you are in that process because the farmer comes in as a technical advisor. And again, as time goes on, he ends up taking some of the money that was given to him from the government, that money is for the payment, reinvesting it onto the farm. And 2 years down the line, after lots of production, people still don't get anything. Because the manager said, no, we're not making profit. And people see trucks with fruits going out every day. And they talk about overhead. And what do I know about overhead? I grew up on this farm, I grew up on the farm. Even in terms of looking at books, we've got challenges of looking at books and seeing if you are making a profit or not. So, and what it means is that this story, this whole process actually, the landowners are double dipping.
something really, really good to each other. But we have not practiced when really our partners are very hostile to us. To me, the presiding officers are very hostile to committees of parliament. We have practiced so many times to go on the study tour. When this thing of the reopening of the place, historical place, there is only one country that we know of, some of us, New Zealand, with the Maori place. They started them from 70 something. I mean, even long before that, that we need historical place. And we think we think there's something to learn from the Maori experience, from the New Zealand experience. We apply, and what happened? We thought there's no money. So our committee never went to the study tour. How do you expect us to learn and do things differently if we are not allowed to go and see what other people are doing outside the outside South Africa? And part of the motivation I gave for that was that a lawyer helping the Maori is a lawyer from Cape Town. He's a South African. He's the one who's handling the Maori cases there. And we said, you know, if we are even, I mean, it should be beneficial to us. And that application, what happened to it? We find you with the president, like the president, actually, with a friend, and said, no, just ignore them. Because we don't even get feedback from the community to say, this thing failed because of 1, 2, 3. If it's mentioned, it's just mentioned in passing. We don't even get the details. What are the reasons for this? If we are budgeted for it, what happened to them? What was it used for? So these are some of the answers we want from you, because we sent you to our seniors, because we regard them as our seniors. And if we don't get feedback, then it means they have conspired in children and to keep us in the dark. This is really why. And this is not my first committee. I have seen different committees before. In Labour, when we came in, it's like the public employment service. It was a new law in South Africa. Where do we go to change and see how other people are doing things? On the energy being said, this is the committee on energy. We went to France to look at how France runs their nuclear energy programs. And when decisions were made in committees, it was supposed to reflect on how other people are doing things. And the impression I get is that I think there are people who are not interested in us solving the energy issues in this country. Because if they were, they would definitely give this committee lots of support and resources to do this. Because to solve South Africa's economic problems, you need to solve the land issues. I don't think people who entrust with responsibilities to make our work much easier really have our interests that are. I'm beginning to doubt that, just as well. And yeah, I really love them. I can't even pretend. I'm glad to be.
Thank you very much, Dr. Chavadeen. I know that Honorable Robertson and Honorable Budi, and after that, we'll wrap it up and break for lunch, just to hand also Honorable Madela, indicating in that order. Remember? Thank you.
Yes, and thank you, Chair. I think you covered all of the Honorable Chair. What I just wanted to mention was, and it brought to my attention, was regards to the government actually employing the farmer back who sold the land. It also creates hostility and unnecessary hostility, and therefore I'm totally against leaving the farm back to the original landowner. I think it should be, if there was a mentorship program, it should be leased to somebody else, because this is in a situation whereby the community who are ultimately going to be employees again of the farmer, we have one step forward to steps back in this, because what's happening is they're saying in order for the farmer to come and farm this farm again, we need to be able to work. I mean, we are the ones that need to be able to benefit from this deal naturally. But then when it comes to actually getting on responsibility on the premises, etc., there's hostilities because the one says, well, the government has now got me back to run the farm so everybody can benefit from it. And then the labor is the same, but this is actually our farm. So we're using them as how to run our farm. So this is very, very much of a conflict. And this needs to be resourced. By going back and getting that model of mentorship is it's not going to work. It just increases the tension. On a specific farm I'm talking about in Lady Beaver's class, the one that is functioning now, Honorable Dima Buza got in a farm from Hollow Farm, wasn't the previous owner of that land. Welcome, Honorable. He was not the original owner of the land, and therefore he's working a lot better. But the problem with that situation is that it's a 20-year land. He's got 20 years to leave that farm from the client or from the beneficiaries. And 95% of those beneficiaries, specifically the ones that are not on the TPA committee, are in exactly the same situation they were before the next client. Absolutely no difference to the ask of whatsoever. We've got a lot of ground with you. We've got a lot of ground with you. We want this process to succeed. And thank you. That's me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. Chair. Any questions on that? Chair, some of the issues we might just, not for sake of the climate intelligence, but might just wish to indicate that maybe committee has different views in here to refine their approach. So if I go back to the 10 a.m. issue for that, we have managed to finish in time, I'll say 98% of the time, except where, or I can say, for those who know that the whip is the committee, maybe the whip is having a whip on the Wednesday, that is 12, and then you find a particular individual that is having a pressure. But the rest of the team is able to finish it at one. I do know that each party, if you were to say that, has all its own evaluation, you'd be surprised to find that the government has a strong approval for the orders of the larger of the committee, you know. Not our own, our own. So I have not picked up this 10 a.m. issue for debate, not in a council. I have not picked up a 10 a.m. issue to the issue whether I should have been 8, whether I should have been 9, or morning classes like at school, 7. So I don't know, Chair. I think that at the strategic planning session, we want to look at effects, the impact of the water. If we were saying most often we don't finish our, we'll finish right through the minute. 3 minutes of minutes, where it's about, go, we finish. So I think that there has been good performance, and I do know that outside ourselves there's been strong approval for the kind of work we do, starting at 10, at 1 we should be done, also soon thereafter. But if it can help, Chair, unless we just extend time to the talk shop, you know. Chair, I want to support the idea of study tours and just be explicit that I said in the provincial stage of work, 10 years before coming here, so quite a good 12-year experience in the sector. There are study tours, and they were even grouped into Africa and the West. That's something to assert, and Apatride started complaining that they were being overflooded, and then the strategy was to open up the whole of Africa, because we had to know Europe more. With the traditional experience of the National Parliament for 22 years, 21 years. We tended to know Europe more and never focus on Africa. Every year we have to share the management of the institution. Then you would take group committees that are going to a 5-year plan. Maybe you would say 10 committees here going to Africa and 30 committees going to the West. And so on. The traditional is something, it is a scientific issue. It's not a the word tour, I don't know about it, but that's that sort of concept of committee exposure in this issue, like you ask them at least to look at case studies. Learn in Latin America, for instance. There's a whole lot of them that you can pick up and learn in Latin America. You know? So that one issue here. I don't know how it's done here. You pick up a plan from it's willing by our own sense, whatever they are saying, you know? So it's going to I don't think the policy is just a structure. Labor portfolio committee knows that on the entry we are going to achieve a campaign goal. Defense portfolio committee knows that on year 5. And the land committee knows that on year 1. You know, something like that. So perhaps it's going to strategic plan of parliament. I must say that in the first instance of parliament, that area is quite clumsy, maybe to be tied up. There's no reason why there's no clear plan. How committees are going to go on exposure visits or study tours to familiarize the content, you know. So now we meet with IGO last week, IGO International Labour on the first. The Constitutional Court in Namibia was ABC, so you can't talk because you're not exposed to, you know, such things. Okay, the debate about strategic partners. I don't know if I would make my analogy clear. Look at the finance in what we all experienced in the December cabinet reshuffle. I'm not really talking to say things, I'm just trying to extract the analogy. The market reacting in a certain manner, and I'm talking about trying to partner with my colleagues.
Talking about which
You are on TV, so the nation is going to capture you. If one of the Roberts was, I'm just trying to debate, point debating. So sometimes you find that the environment reacts to changes. So, Jared Spanner, this firm has been running this firm for 30 years. He knows who the suppliers are for feed, for fertilizer, for repairs of the tractors, for equipment, and all that. So sometimes you may wish to say you need a the people who take over, be it government, the department or the new owner, to run their own, but that might be the recipe for collapse on the spot. On the spot, because on day one, just a critical thing, service to the treasurer or an important auxiliary on the map, so I have thought that say, there are pros and cons to this issue of the strategic partners and have the related to treat it very, very, very carefully. Otherwise, the market overreacts. The market overreacts is my analogy of the best one. So, strategic partners, you may wish to keep for strategic reasons. Okay? That's why you have directly in the next government. You have to keep what? So that you avoid a complete collapse. I don't know if I made the point, but it's true that the mass transformation and change of can I talk to the last thing? Again, it goes back to the hoods that I know you just now shared about the data and the technical, but also some of the management of the institution. The committee wants to reach to 3 states, and a member of the committee, maybe Honorable Mathias, who's not attending today, has better insight into how far the plan is from Bulgogi. And the committee report decides to go route of the GPS. GPS, I'm making them for the prison that I'm now holding. I also need you so much for that route. Now, they go that route, GPS, and GPS not going to say that maybe there's a big river, the bridge is not working. And then the committee support as committee. And we wholeheartedly committee think that all the Mathias is best to advise us on the DNP, on the what, on the circumstances there. And then you come there, committee support sorry. Because I'm saying the principle, I'm not talking the case, but it is the case as well. Committee support is our constitutional processes. Why do you take Mathias's recommendation? Don't you know that Mathias is related to that person? And the whole host of things outside principle. The alternative chair gets to the situation like we experienced in Cape Town, Kenneth, in Queenstown. we find that the home is accommodated in a block of flats. You know, no electricity, nothing. Because community support will be wary of certain information from members and using that in case if the election is there, you know. So I'm just saying another business strategy plan. I strongly support checking information with people who know it than going the bookish manner, because it also causes tension. Some members simply didn't sleep in good time. Not very interesting. I have to be refunded. From the World Joint Committee, it was packed. So in other words, without going to the merit of any case, because it is a fact that the committee of the rules have been here, yes, and I'm not trying to speak the principle there. But it can't be right that you can't take information from members. Because the reverse is also true. You go to know the case, and I learned that as well. You find that you get taxes from your agents, not taxes, your wife, and that kind of thing, from agents coming from loan every day, come, and it's consuming a community budget, for goodness sake, you know. And they're coming all the way from Bloemfontein to transport the community in the vast areas of the Northern Cape. Whereas if the one community member with knowledge of the stakeholders and the development in the Northern Cape, you will know whether people are clear in Kimberley or in Hamilton. And what is the best mechanism, you know? So I say, when you're back on your other capacity, thank you, UK. When you're back on your other capacity, please talk to management that there is everything good about consulting members for information. Where the conflict of interest, I can only tell you, no, it's also a cousin of mine, but conflict is present. And also, live outside politics. Live outside politics, you know? Because without it, we are also frustrated. Our budget is finished by ages, and we don't want ground transport that is the establishment. One can transport from Mountain people, but where the committee will be comfortable, you know. Not the planning stuff like it. We're not going to say pack it, but we will say, take information from relevant people. If I go to the more of I have to comment more than a GPS, thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable member. We noted all the issues. I'm being supported by my three colleagues, and when you come back, you always said straight away on those issues. I'm going to summarize them. And what came out from those articulations is not just an issue, but there was a little bit of things that you need to do to address the issue. That's right. So it was very helpful as well. It was not just saying, okay, this is an issue and you leave it. It was a very proactive and way where one of the members were able to say, this is the action that you need to take. This is how to address the issue. So that helps the next session as well. So that is what you're going to do when you come back as well. But overall, I don't know if Honorable Chester, I'm well recognized. Welcome, Honorable Walter. But if I am, Honorable Walter, you are welcome. We just come to an end of the first session in terms of our environmental analysis, the so-called key issues. But when you come back, you go and try to formulate some two of the things to address the challenges that we are facing and continue in the leader classes. Honorable members, it's 27:01. We were supposed to create at 1 in terms of the program. So lunch, I think, is ready. It's allocated for an hour, but if we can make it within 40-45 minutes, please let me back by let me take the feedback around 1 or 2 o'clock.